There's a huge difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. And listen, religion is one of the most powerful and deceptive tools that are in the arsenal of Satan, and he uses them, and he uses them very wisely against us. It's deceptive because it gives us, again, a false sense of hope.
Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Hope Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be hearing an encouraging message that I recently shared with our congregation at Hope Assembly of God. Today's message is part two of It's Not Religion, It's Worship. My hope for you today is that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
This woman had religion. For sure she had religion, but she lacked fellowship with God. And like most, religion allowed her to live questionably. Religion makes it very comfortable to live questionably. You can justify your lifestyle by your religion. See, her religion, like most of us, gave her a false sense of security. In church, there's a major difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. There's a huge difference between knowing Jesus and knowing about Jesus. And listen, religion is one of the most powerful and deceptive tools that are in the arsenal of Satan, and he uses them, and he uses them very wisely against us. It's deceptive because it gives us, again, a false sense of hope. Religion does not function on the basis of truth. It operates on the influence of the flesh. Life in the Spirit is subject to the Spirit. When you live according to the Spirit, you're subject to the Spirit, is what you're saying. But when you live according to the flesh, you are living your life subjective to the flesh. You live by the flesh, you live according to the flesh. You set your standards then, and it affects your worship. How many of you have ever been in the flesh before? Listen, why is it that when you get in the flesh, you come to church, you don't want to lift up those hands? You don't want to express anywhere? You don't really want to be with God. I pray that he preaches fast today. I guess no one else has been there before. That should tell us. That should be clue number one. Clue number one to us this morning. The Samaritan woman, she worshipped on Mount Gerizim. But she thirsted for living water. There's no accident that Jesus met this woman at the well. It wasn't like, I mean, we understand, like I mentioned last week, the reason she was down there by herself drawing water because she was a woman of questionable character. No one wanted to hang out with her. She's isolated. But Jesus meets her at that well because he knows she's hungry. She's thirsty for God. She's thirsty for truth. That's the reason why he meets her there. And so when you look at the story, again, it doesn't happen by accident. It happens on purpose. And this woman knows that Jesus is then sent by God because he reveals truth to her. And so then she's wide open for truth. And what she asks is this. Remember, she makes the point, you Jews say that you're supposed to worship in Jerusalem. Our fathers worship on this mountain in Samaria, which is Mount Gerizim. What she's asking is this, where am I supposed to worship? Now you look at that question and you think, big deal. I mean, but it's not like, it's not like comparing church to church. That's not what she's doing. In our minds, that's what we would do. What she's asking is very significant. She's not asking where is the proper location to worship. She's asking how am I supposed to worship? Who am I supposed to worship? Where? I mean, all these things, deeper questions than what we see on the surface. She's asking how can I properly commune with God? How can I get close to God? Because obviously you are closer to God than I am, and I want what you have. I want to get there. And so with that conviction sets in. She's responsive to truth. And Jesus reveals truth to her. Now he's got an open door because she's asking a question. Where should I worship? How should I worship? Who should I worship? What's wrong with my worship? Listen, religion can dress up and play a part. Religion can dress up and play a part, but it cannot change you. And it cannot put you in contact with God. And man, people, I know, and I've been there because, you know, even in my days of being on staff as a pastor, I've gotten religious before. And just go through the motions. It can happen to all of us, friends. There's not one person in here that is above that. Why is that? Because we have flesh we have to deal with. And sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get lazy. Sometimes we get worn out. Sometimes we are just spiritually spent. Sometimes we just rebel. Sometimes we just rebel. How can I get close with God? That's what she's asking. Here's what I want to ask you then. Is your worship satisfying to your spirit? It should be. There should be a satisfaction in your spirit. You should know that when you worship God, there was a connection. That when you go to seek the face of God and you've met with Him, does your worship bring you closer to God? Or is there something missing in your worship? Let's go down to verses 21 through 24, John chapter 4. Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." Verse 22, "You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship Him." Verse 24, "God is spirit, and those who worship must worship in spirit and truth." Jesus makes it abundantly clear in the statement, worship is going to change. From that perspective, from that place, he's letting this woman know, the way the Jews worship, the way you worship, the way everyone worships, if you're truly going to worship the one true God, it's all going to change. Don't get caught up on the practices that you between the Jews and the Samaritans. It's all going to change. And he's the one who's going to change it. He's the one who's going to bring about a change to the worship that the Old Testament believer enjoyed. Listen, we thank God we don't worship like the Old Testament believer. Thank God we don't worship like the Old Testament believer. I'm going to say it again because you're not getting it. See, we look at the Old Testament, we glamorize it. We think, oh, no, it's not good. It's not good. I'm going to show you why it's not. And it was never intended to be a permanent system of worship. Because if it was, we'd still be worshiping the same way today. See, and when I'm talking about worship here this morning and how it changed, I'm not talking about styles or expressions, because they will change with time. They will change with culture. They will change with people. I'm talking about how we worship. The whole way we worship as believers completely changed, and Jesus changed it. Where we worship, how we worship, why we worship, who we worship, Jesus has changed it all. When Jesus had this encounter with the Samaritan woman, worship for the Jews, worship for the Old Testament believer, was regulated to the temple in Jerusalem. Since Moses gave the law, worship for the most part was experienced at the temple or the tabernacle. In fact, worship in the Old Testament for the Old Testament believer can be summed up in this statement: worship God from a distance. If you don't believe me, look at Exodus chapter 24, verses 1 through 2. "Then he said to Moses, 'Come up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 elders of Israel,'" and what? "Worship from afar. Moses alone shall come near to the Lord, but the others shall not come near me." Come near. "And the people shall not come up with him." See, throughout the Old Testament, the believer was commanded to worship the Lord their God. They were instructed to offer sacrifices. They were offered to give these sacrifices that was an aroma pleasing to the Lord. However, very few experienced the presence of God personally, and if they did, it was on a limited basis. See, that's why we shouldn't be so excited about the Old Testament worship. It was a type and a shadow. But the fulfillment comes under Christ. You shouldn't want to go back to Old Testament worship. Amen? You are to worship at a distance. Think about that. And think about how much that makes sense now. How throughout the Old Testament, they worshiped at a distance. Ephesians 2:12. "That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." That's speaking of us. I've referred to this scripture several times throughout this month. I'm going to do it again. Isaiah 59:2. "But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sin has separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear you. That's why Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, because he came to redeem and he came to restore. Sin creates a gap. Guess what? Religion makes it worse. The worship of the Old Testament was not intended to be a permanent fix. It was intended to be a temporary fix. The time should come that God, the Son, would come and restore mankind to fellowship. For the Old Testament, worship had boundaries. Look here at Exodus 19, 23. But Moses said to the Lord, "The people cannot come up to Mount Sinai, for you warned us, saying, set bounds around the mountain and consecrate it." Verse 24. Then the Lord said to him, "Away, get down, and then come up, you and Aaron with you. But do not let the priest and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest he break out against them." So Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Worship God from a distance. Worship him from afar. Man could not freely come into the presence of God and worship him in the Old Testament system of worship. Listen, God wasn't being mean, nor was he being fussy. God is holy, and God is righteous, and God cannot allow sin, and God cannot fellowship with sin. And so God is just being true to his nature. He's a holy God. He is a God without sin. Therefore, to have fellowship with God, your sins must be atoned for. And we understand from the Word of God, the blood of these animals did not atone for sins. Only the blood of a perfect sacrifice, amen? And we know who that is, and that's Jesus. The law could not atone for our sins, and it was powerless to change the believer, and it was powerless to restore fellowship between man and God. Worship had to change, and Jesus brought a change. Unfortunately, the Jews of Jesus' day were so committed to the types and shadows of worship, they missed the fulfillment of those types and shadows when he appeared in their midst. Their religion became their worship, and they became satisfied with that arrangement. If we're not careful, we'll become satisfied with religion, and it will substitute for our worship. God gave Moses regulations for worship, and these included the tabernacle and the place where God would commanded that the Ark of the Covenant would be set in a place, the Holy of Holies. And there's this visual, though. If you think about this, how many of you can visualize the picture of the tabernacle in the Old Testament? But think about the visual, though. And some of them, man, it's powerful. And yeah, there's types and shadows. But you know what? There's curtains, and there's courtyards, and there's veils, and there's a regulation. There is boundaries set around the presence of God. Not everybody could enter in. Only one could enter in. See, God was not satisfied with that type of worship. The most holy place where God would meet with the high priest once a year. That once a year. And the priest had to bring in blood as atonement for sin. God was not satisfied with that arrangement. And so worship had to change. You know, even Aaron, the high priest, the brother of Moses, was restricted to come into the presence of God. Leviticus 16:2. And the Lord said to Moses, "Tell Aaron your brother not to come at just any time into the presence, into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, lest he die. For I will appear in the clouds above the mercy seat." You know, Aaron symbolically was allowed into the holy place carrying the blood of an atoning sacrifice, and this was called great hope. However, the picture is not fully realized until Christ offered himself once and for all, and then the true tabernacle of God, and opened an eternal passageway for us to enter into the presence of God and worship. Worship has changed. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. But remember, Old Testament worship was a type and a shadow of things to come. And here's what I want you to see. Why on earth would we allow ourselves to fall back into that pattern of Old Testament worship and ever think it's going to satisfy our soul?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I pray it was a blessing to you. I want to encourage you to take advantage of the opportunity we have as true worshipers. Enter into the presence of God and worship Him in spirit and truth. If you're not attending a house of worship and you're looking for a church home, I want to invite you to come worship with us Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for our family night. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.